Going Deeper with God. This show exists to refresh our relationships with our Father by having a place to go with Him each week. Pastor Barbara Moore and Dr. Becky Slaybaugh call upon the Holy Spirit to guide us in deeply reconnecting with God. You can learn more about Barbara and Becky at goingdeeperwithgod.org. We pray that this show helps you grow in prayer, hear the voice of God, and keep Jesus in your soul. All right, let's go deeper with God.
I want to go deeper.
Well, here we are, Saturday, and for you night owls, so glad that you're listening in to Going Deeper with God. This is a program of Harvest Mountain Ministries from Lakewood, Colorado. And we are so happy every week to help you grow deeper in your relationship with God, in intimacy with God, how to access God, hear the voice of God, and we love to get your feedback. We were so happy this week to send off a CD from one of our guests a few weeks ago, Dana Belcher, because one of our listeners from Pennsylvania did a post on our Facebook page, Going Deeper with God, that she loved what Dana was saying, and she just shared a couple of things of why it helped her grow deeper with God. So we will have, for those of you listening today, if you would post on our Facebook page a couple of things that you like, what you hear, what Sarah Devenport is going to share today with you, we will have a special gift for you. So we like to, God likes to give gifts, and we do too. Just wanted to mention to you before we jump in with Sarah, that I have just spent the last 3 months writing a book, and Sarah was actually my editor, and the name of the book is Lean In Closer with God Because You Can. And the subtitle is 7 Breakthrough Lessons of How to Go Extreme Vertical in a Horizontal World. So this book is a spiritual biography that I wrote about my adventures with God. And if you would be interested in coming to a book study on this book or purchasing the book on Amazon, that would be awesome. But let's not take any more time because we have a fabulous guest for you today. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing lovely today, Barbara. Thank you.
That's awesome. Well, Sarah, of course, is very gifted and talented. Otherwise, she wouldn't be on our show sharing with you today. And she's an author and a consultant on a variety of subjects designed to help you reach your maximum potential. She's the founder of AntWorks, which is a simple solution for life's complicated challenges ministry. And it's lifestyle programs that will help you get techniques for understanding yourself and others better. And don't we all need that? And that you can overcome personal and professional misunderstandings and learn to communicate more effectively with the people in your life. So we want you to listen in today and next week to Sarah Devenport, and her website is antworcs.com. So, Sarah, welcome again.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be working with you on your book, and I'm excited that we'll be talking together today on the radio show.
Well, we're talking today about one of my very favorite topics, spiritual warfare. And for you listeners, you know, I don't know. We would love to hear back from you if you have not had a lot of teaching on this topic, because both Sarah and I are very interested in helping the body of Christ to grow in spiritual warfare. So, Sarah, how did you become interested in spiritual warfare?
Well, I guess it starts at the beginning. I was raised as a Catholic, and so I had a very comfortable understanding of all those foundational principles. There is a God, there is a devil, you want to pick a side, and hopefully you pick the winning team. So, you know, that was my foundation, and then I was invited to a revival during the late 70s. I was 12 years old at the time. And, and the revival is where I became aware of the fact that I could step right through the protocol of church formalities, and as it were, I could head straight to the top, talk to the big guy himself. That was very exciting to me. Because I have a laundry list.
You could talk
questions.
To him yourself?
That's right. I know. Go figure. And trust me, I did. In fact, those who know me know my response was pretty much, well, it's about time.
And so, how old were you then?
I was 12. And, you know, I kind of tease, I think my theme song should be Dream the Impossible Dream, because I think I've always had a passion to march into hell for a heavenly cause. But what I discovered is that there wasn't a lot of education specifically on the subject of spiritual warfare. And I think that's how I started my own journey of answering those questions by going straight to the big guy.
Straight to the big guy, huh? And what resources did you find to learn about this?
Well, you know, I suppose the obvious beginning is I started with a Bible. I was gifted with my own Bible that very Christmas. And I'm still using the same loving leather-bound copy that I got all those years ago. But I literally started a program. No, I still have it. A few of the pages have to be tucked back in every time I open it up. And a good majority of it's underlined now based on one or another Bible study that told me this was an important verse. So now pretty much the whole thing's about underlined. But I'd say that's what I started with, definitely. Bible in a year, one of those programs that said, you know, start here, read this many per day. And I started with that right away. Also, I got my hands on whatever books were available. And to me, some of the greatest treasures of the time, remember this was the late 70s, so forget about there being anything like an internet. C.S. Lewis, specifically the Screwtape Letters, I thought was remarkably informative. Also, a book had come out by Mark Bubeck at the time. It was called Overcoming the Adversary. We wore out Mike Warnke's testimony. For those who know Mike Warnke, in the time he was very popular because he had previously been a Satan worshiper and had been converted. So he had quite a bit of information on the subject. I liked Gary S. Paxton album because he didn't mess around. He just cut right through it all and said, here's how it ought to be. And then later, actually, at that same time, in the mid-80s, I graduated with broadcast communications, and I started out in radio back in the mid-80s, and that's where I was exposed to Bob Larson, because he had an afternoon radio show, and his great passion, if you're familiar with Bob Larson Ministries, is, of course, releasing people who specifically have been engaged in satanic cultism and have found themselves overcome with demonic influences, and he helps to release them from those bindings. So I did that. Those were my resources at the time.
Wow, you had some. And how old were you at this point when you were reading all these resources?
Well, like I said, I began at 12, right?
Yeah.
Because I started right away. I already had a list of things, and I was only too excited to get those answered as quickly as possible. So I started immediately, especially with the reading, and then that moved me through my high school years. And like I say, then I headed on out and got my broadcast certification so that I could be in the radio industry, and started work for a Christian radio station in the mid-80s. So that's when Bob Larson came on my radar, because I was part of the radio program.
Were you on radio in Denver then?
It was in south of Denver, the city of Pueblo, is where we were at the time. But yes, still here in Colorado. And it was an AM Christian talk radio station.
Well, I have to say, because I'm known to mention things to people. I went to a prayer breakfast this morning and said something to a counselor that was doing work with addictions about deliverance ministry, and his face like twisted and everything. So you must have been very popular as a young person, considering what you were wired for. You must have received a lot of interesting expressions from people in your life.
Well, you know, I was on a mission, I think, from day one, and I was so eager to get clarity, especially in this area, that I just headed out gung-ho.
So what were some outcomes that you had based on your studies, and now you're in broadcasting, and so what's the outcomes of this calling in your life?
Well, I think that it's obviously, as you hear so often, so much more of a journey than a destination. I would certainly mm-hmm. say that the outcome is still outcoming. Each and every day is a new revelation. Certainly, I have invested at this point almost 30 years in the process. And what I discovered, I suppose, more than anything, is the lack, like you mentioned at the beginning, Barbara, the lack of training, especially for lay people, those not specifically in leadership positions within religious protocol. And the outcome for me is that I actually am currently in the process of developing a training curriculum, kind of in the nature of a master's level style program. It'll be a 2-year investment, and it can be a learn at your own pace, learn for yourself. I want this to be very accessible to the layperson, but that is the outcome, is that I found, well, you know, in a nutshell, this kind of a journey, like you mentioned, is not for everyone, but it really is everything to the person who is called to it. And it's true that you must be committed for the long haul in order to see the fruits of your labor. And really, I think in show number 2, in part 2, we'll probably end up discussing more about what I call the 3 phases of this particular calling.
You know, I just want to do a sidebar for here for a minute. And I feel like there's some young adults listening to the show right now, and you know, the Word of God informs us, and if it's not in the Word of God, you know, we shouldn't be listening about anything. But, you know, Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians 10, and I took some time today to actually read around the verse that we usually read, but he starts out saying in 2 Corinthians 10, "By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid, one face to face with you, but bold towards you when away. I beg you that when I come to you, I may not have to be bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." So, of course, we don't have the time today, Sarah, to go through that whole verse. But let's just say that, listeners, if you're interested in becoming prepped, and perhaps you have the same calling that Sarah had, and it's part of my calling. It's in the Word of God. And so, Sarah, let's go then to the responsibility of people today, Christians. What is the simple explanation of our responsibility as Christians in regards to spiritual warfare?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. In my observations, again, I've indicated I've been many years in this process, and one of the key points that has arisen to me is that, on the whole, America specifically, and the globe encompassing, has moved from what we would call the industrial age, which America headed up some 100-plus years ago, and the industrial age required certain obligations of community. But recently, probably, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, we have shifted from what we would call the industrial age to what we now refer to as the information age. That came along with the advent of the internet and other ways to communicate more quickly across broad spaces and gaps in time. And the internet, more than anything else, has made that ability available to the every man. This being said, what has happened is that there is so much information moving around the globe, crossing cultural lines, gender lines, all sorts of various areas that used to be well-defined are now gray and fuzzy with this transfer of information. And with too much information moving along without some of the filters that used to be in place, coupled with a strong movement that also correlated at approximately the same time.
There's a strong movement, you said, of folks being involved in the information age. And we encourage you, listeners, to, look to hear what Sarah has to say about this. Because Paul informs us in 2 Corinthians 10 that there's divine power that we're given. And we're given weapons which we are to fight with, and we are to demolish arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. That's in 2 Corinthians 10:5. So if we are told that Paul is exhorting the church in Corinth that this is part of what it means to be a Christian, that there's things going on in our lives and the atmosphere and around us in our community, in our neighborhoods, that perhaps we could, take the time to ask God if there's anything that we need to pray for in regards to any type of circumstance where there is peace that's lacking in our town or in our workplace. And some people, listeners, you may even sense sometimes that there's, you just get a feeling that something is not right, or you can see sometimes that a person seems to be operating perhaps in a little bit of, they don't seem like they have a lot of light around them, but maybe darkness. And so, we call this spiritual warfare, but as followers of Christ, it's really helpful, as Sarah Devenport is sharing with us from AntWorks Ministry today, that we are called as Christians to know about spiritual warfare and then to ask God during our devotional time and during Bible study time if he has something that he needs for us to be aware of or pray about in regards to circumstances where, the Lord is not reigning, but there are things happening that, as again Paul talks about, there's some kind of waging of war going on. So we'd like to encourage you to go to harvestmountainministries.org website or Going Deeper with God Facebook page. And if you have some things that you'd like to learn about spiritual warfare, we would really encourage you to just send us a message, or harvestmountainministries@gmail is our email. And if you want to learn some more things about spiritual warfare, we would love to hear what it is you're interested in particular, because Sarah is, again, going to talk next week about what she is developing for a spiritual warfare course.
Hello, Barbara. I'm back.
Okay, so we know that spiritual warfare is going on around us, and you have had, 30 years of checking this out. So we don't have a whole lot of time left on this show, but are there a couple of things in particular that you want to share with the listeners that, they may see this but not know what it is, or maybe your biggest idea that you have for people about spiritual warfare?
Right. Well, and I think that probably, again, in our second show, we'll discuss some of the more specifics, helping to get more clarity for a listener who's unfamiliar with this. I started with a process of indicating it as three phases of spiritual warfare. Phase one, I would define as awakening or enlightenment. Very popular terms right now in the positive thinking field. The key there would be knowing that an enemy exists, becoming aware of this truth that an enemy exists. Then phase two is the discernment phase, where you begin to not only acknowledge or identify that an enemy exists, but now you begin to recognize the enemy. You begin to put form to this enemy so that they can be singled out in a crowd when necessary. And I think phase two is where we see the biggest lack of available training, and it's the area I'm hoping my work will provide some additional support. And I would say that only then would it be wise to move into phase three, which we term warfare, which, again, I would say is confronting the enemy. So I think a lot of people that say within a realm of appreciation are already in the awakened phase and know that there's an enemy. I think what happens a lot of times is they jump quickly to phase three and confront the enemy, but without clear discernment. And I think it leaves them vulnerable to attacks they were not prepared for.
Yeah, I know, I get phone calls from pastors sometimes that in seminary, they don't really do a lot of training on this, which a lot of times pastors are leading, you know, a flock, and they're not just sure what to do. And then there seems to be sort of a subsurface of people that they know about. They have this number in their phone that, you know, if somebody has a certain kind of problem, they're like, I have no idea what this is going on. I just know it's over my head. And so there are people, again, it's not like you can just go on Google search and find them, but the church does have people that help when, again, pastors or elders are not quite sure what to do. So it would be great when we talk next week some more about this course that you'll offer right here in the Metro Denver area. And with soundness, you know, I know one thing that I've learned is that I knew some people that, you know, that in Jude it says that the Lord rebuke you and you have a humble spirit towards evil. And I knew some people that were like Rambos, just like really going after strongholds or whatever. And sometimes that's not wise. I think John Cole Jackson wrote that book, Needless Casualties of War. Have you heard of that one?
No, not familiar with that one, but, if you're leading towards stepping in where you may not be prepared, I certainly respect that occurs maybe more often than it should.
Yeah, so listeners, we want you to be aware of spiritual warfare. And again, Sarah, why don't you just recap before we have our show next week, that if a child was to say to a parent, what is spiritual warfare? Maybe they heard something in youth group or whatever. What would you say?
I just came up with a cute little story along those lines that goes along. Imagine when a child comes to you and says, would you teach me how to ride a bicycle? What I think is happening is that, think about a parent who is very comfortable on a bicycle. That parent is going to respond by saying, oh, bicycles are wonderful. They're easy to ride. Here are the components of a bicycle. Here's how you sit on a bicycle. Let me help you. I will teach you how to ride a bicycle very well so you can go wherever you'd like. Unfortunately, with the lack of training that exists on the subject of spiritual warfare, if you were to put into that same curiosity question from a child, Mommy, what's the dark shadow in the corner? Why am I scared at night? Whatever these questions might be. If the parent has not been well educated, they're not going to be able to discuss things like, oh, honey, fighting the devil is perfectly easy to do. Here are the components of fighting the devil. That's who's in the corner and trying to scare you. Here are your tools in order to combat that. And I think that is, I think phase one is get the leaders, those people in positions of authority, even as parents, properly educated, so that when the child comes to them, instead of, you know, a lot of times I think instead of responding with that positivity, you start hearing things like, oh, the devil doesn't exist, or oh, pretend it's not there, or, you know, throw something at it, but not really dig into the depth.
Yeah, so listeners, we want Sarah to pray for you right now in the spirit of what God has given her as far as spiritual warfare goes, and that we just want to encourage you to, God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So, Sarah, would you just pray us out right now?
Absolutely. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to have the ears and eyes opened of God's people, and I ask that you would enter into each and every willing heart and begin the process of guiding them through this journey as you have guided me, so that they may be very confident when the enemy comes knocking to be able to place that enemy appropriately on its knees before you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray this.
We look forward to being with you again next Saturday night. And we thank you so much for tuning in to hear Sarah Devenport of ANTWORCF Ministry. She'll be talking to us some more next week about spiritual warfare. And all of the resources that she mentioned will be in our blog post on Facebook and in our website, Going Deeper with God.
Sign your name on the picture.